Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Dove Ministries of Love, a production of Dove Ministries. Join Apostle Diane as she shares wisdom from the Word of God about topics that we are faced with in our lives every day. Listen with an open heart and spirit as you can receive impartation and understanding. We are taking prayer requests and your questions live at 1-347-857-4133. Let the anointing of God lift your burdens and destroy yokes of bondage in your life. You will never be the same. Our website is www.dove-ministries.com.
Well, good morning or good afternoon, or maybe it's the evening that you're listening. I'm so glad that you've tuned in today. And this is Apostle Diane Nutt of Dove Ministries of Love, somewhere in the little town of Rockwall, Texas, which is growing very quickly, very rapidly. Well, praise the Lord. What a blessing, a honor just to be with you again and to share with you. Thank you for your emails and your inbox messages on Facebook and your phone calls. I'm just so blessed and just so honored to continually hear the praise reports of what God is doing in your life, and to hear that not only words, you know, that have been spoken prophetically are coming to pass in your life, and that is such an honor to speak for the Lord, you know, to be that mouthpiece here in the earth. But even more precious to me is to hear that you are coming through the testing times of your faith, the trials and the adversities, that you are overcoming them, and you're seeing the Word of God manifested in your life. Wow. That is just, because that is so the desire of my heart, is that there would be just one thing, and if there's only one person per program that I do, and programs that's heard, you know, in the archives, if there's just one person's life who has changed, it is always just worth it. It is so worth it. And, you know, I love how God incorporated the body of Christ and how he compared the body of Christ to being like our physical bodies, having many members, and but yet one body with one heart, with one mind. And, you know, we need each other. We really need each other. And I guess I'm just kind of diving on into this thing, and I'll do the announcements that I do later on in the program, and whenever come to that time, whenever I pray for you or as the Holy Spirit leads. But, you know, there comes a time in the body of Christ where we have to realize that, you know, we need each other. In the book of Ephesians, the Bible says that every joint supplies one to another. And so when we are connected to the joint that we are supposed to be, when we're connected to the people that God has established for our journey, the ones that he has put there, that is by divine appointment, there is growth that happens in your life. There's an extension of God's heart in his hand to you. And so you can't survive in a relationship where there's no life support. I'm going to say that again. You can't survive in a relationship where there's no life support. And so we have to be careful, and we have to really pray, and we have to know that we're in the right relationship. And so if you're in a relationship where you're always giving, eventually you're going to fizzle out. And, you know, someone would say, and which pretty much did say, well, what do I do if that's my husband? And someone might be saying, well, what to do if that's my wife? Well, I'm going to talk about that a little bit and in just a little bit. But first of all, I want to start off with this, is that we have our life. We live and we have our being in Christ. We move and live and have our being in Christ. He is the source of our life. He is our life support. He is the one who keeps us going, you know, every single day. But nevertheless, He purposed in His heart that we would be there for each other. And it's just high time, and please forgive me, but it is just high time that the church starts being the family and starts being the church that God has ordained that we be, you know, loving each other. The Bible says in 1 John that that they will know, says that the true love of God, of course, is that we keep His commandments and His teachings. And but whoever is born of God is victorious over the world, and that is the victory that conquers even the faith. But the love that people see in us towards each other, that is the love. Amen. That is the love that people see, and they know that we are the Lord. And so that's very, very key, and it's very, very important for us to realize that that love that we show towards one another is the life support from God coming to us through each other that other people see and are drawn to. And I say this every week as we go through the program, and I realize this is on a lot of people's lunch hour, and so I try to be really sensitive to the Holy Spirit to break and to stop at the places, you know, where I can take your call and pray for you or whatever, however the Lord leads. And so this is just a good time, so I'm just going to go to the first caller right now. And let's see, you are on the air. This is, let's see, area code 337. You're on the air.
Man, that was quick. Hello, Apostle Diane. This is Kurt Daigle. How are you today?
Oh, well, hi, Kurt. I am blessed. I am so blessed. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm at work, but I wanted to call in. And we're just living in a very dangerous time, and I don't know. I just feel like that a prayer needs to go forth today for the people that would come in unity and, you know, forget about politics, forget about racial, you know, divisions and all that. I believe we're living in a very critical and dangerous time, but I do know one thing, that God has everything in control. And I just think that we should pray about it right now, if that would be fine with you. It's not a political thing. It's really, we're in a spiritual battle. And I just felt over just to call you, if you would do that honor. I have a word from the Lord that I'm going to release within the next few days. I'm spending mm-hmm. time praying in the Holy Ghost, and if you could pray about that as well, because I want to deliver the pure Word of God in its very form.
Well, that's awesome, and I believe that God wants to speak to all of us, you know, during this season and always if we're praying. And we are at a point in time, because the Lord has directed me at a specific time, you know, today on the program, that we're just going to take time to, you know, to pray and to pray for, you know, for not just for us as individuals, you know, for ourselves, but for the plan and for the will of God.
Yes,
and,
amen.
Praise God that you know, that heart, you are seeking the Lord, and He has raised you up for such a time as this to be a mouthpiece, you know, to speak and to deliver the word of the Lord that brings a freedom. And I can, you know, I can discern the just that fire and just that intensity, you know, in your voice, and even as you're speaking and as you're sharing. And one thing I would like to, you know, to say and address in what you said is, overall and ultimately, God is going to have His way.
Just saying.
One way or another, but it's not going to be with every person because we have a free will.
That's,
you know,
right.
We have a free will to choose God's will. And, you know, a lot of people are wondering, well, why is this happening? And why is this happening? And why are we going through this? Well, the truth is that, you know, I thought for many, many years that, and this is going to help you, this is going to help everybody that's listening and that will ever listen to this program, and that is that God allows, He permits, I won't say He necessarily allows, He gives Satan permission. Satan has to ask, Satan's really employed by God, because
yes,
he can't
ma'am.
Do anything unless he goes to the Father. So
amen.
God's not shaken, He's not moved, He's not surprised by anything. And so we shouldn't be either. But God will permit or afford opportunities to where, you know, things they do happen. And of course God said that all things work together for our good.
Yes,
but God has sent forth His word, and it will accomplish what He has sent it forth to do. It won't return to Him void. But I do want to just share that God cannot be, Kurt, or and everyone who's listening, God cannot be in control of what we don't give Him control of.
Right. That's correct.
So I was taught that, you know, all my life, that God's in control of everything, and no, He's really not. In the sense of our personal relationship with Him and the choices that we make, because we do have that free will, and so there's, you know, there's a real fine line. It sometimes we have a tendency to step back when we just look and say, well, God's in control of everything. And when we need to be taking that stance and we need to be positioning ourselves and being steadfast with our faith set like a flint in being obedient to the Word of God and, you know, doing what He tells us to do. And so I want to help everyone today to understand that, is that we are free, spirited, free. God has given us a free will. And so if we do not take that position or that place of doing His will, then He can be in control, although He is omnipresent and He is the God of this universe, and, you know, this world. It's just that we have to pursue His purpose and His will. And so I had to totally, you know, change my thinking into thinking, well, I can't do control what I don't give Him control of. And so that's why we as the people of God must come together in that spirit of unity. Kurt, you know, in Psalms 133, where He says, oh, how pleasant and how good it is for brethren to dwell together in unity, for in that place the Lord commands His blessing. And
yes.
And there's just, we are living in a critical time. I mean, there's so much of the world that is in the church.
Yes, ma'am, that's true.
And, you know, and so there has to be a defining of peoples in this world. There has to be a defining of, okay, these are the people of God. These are, because God said, if my people who are called by my name, if they will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then he said, I will forgive them and I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. And even so more now, you know, that intensity that you feel, Kurt, it's like I feel that same thing. And as prophets, you know, the fear of the Lord is that something that's strong in our hearts is the fear of God and not the fear of man. You know, and it's like, you know, it's time we've got to just step on over the threshold and into the threshold of that place of victory, you know, that God has given to us individually. And so that corporately and as the body of Christ, we can manifest the will of God in the earth. And so,
well, the Lord was speaking to me a while ago while you were talking. He said, listen closely to what she has to say. And I'm at the point, I cannot refrain from giving the word, and it's not what most people want to hear. But people have to understand, and you said it very well, you know, God is in control, and he has a plan in his word, and that plan is going to be brought to pass. And so he allows certain situations to take place because he's going to carry it out. And we're living in such a time as this, and the word that I'm going to give, a lot of Christians are probably going to call me a false prophet, but I can't help that. I will give what God says and then, you know, just go from there. But my heart just breathes for this nation, for this people. It really does.
Yes, and I can hear that and sense that. Well, can I pray for you? And
yes, ma'am. Yeah, you sure
can. Holy Spirit. Well, Father God, we just thank you right now for Kurt, and Father, thank you for calling him into that office of a prophet, and Father, you've had your hand upon him mightily, and Lord God, you've taken him and you've been molding him and shaping him and forming him for this day and for this hour, Lord God, to speak forth your word. And so, Father God, I just pray for that spirit of grace to come upon your son. And Father God, thank you that the word that has been set up like fire in his bones, Father God, that you're bringing him into that place of being able to release that word that you have put in him. And Father God, I just pray for the hedge of protection, for a wall of fire about him. Lord God, that as he is tending to the business, tending to the word that you have given to him to speak, Father God, that he would just remain in a peace that passes all understanding and knowing, Lord God, that you are speaking in and through him, that he is that vessel of honor that has been sanctified, that has been made useful for your purposes, Lord God. And Father, just thank you, Lord God, that this word that you have given to him, Lord God, that that in that moment that he is to speak it, that it will just flow so gracefully, so gracious as you are, Father, and in that spirit of love, but with that fear of God that comes in trembling when you are speaking to us and giving us direction and giving us a opportunity to come into alignment with your word. So, Father, thank you for Kurt's passion that he has for you, Lord God, and how that's a testimony of his faith in you, the passion that we know that we can feel, that we can sense in, that this is a critical time. This is the time to rise up and to be obedient, to really choose to serve the Lord and to do what you have purposed in your heart for each and every one of us individually, but as a body of Christ. Father, blessings over your son. Lord God, just bless him above and beyond what he can imagine or think. Father God, and according to the power of God that is in him.
No.
Father God, I thank you that this is only the beginning. Hallelujah. This is only the beginning. I just heard that this is only the beginning of the seasons and the times in which the Lord will position you to speak forth that word which will bring a conviction of truth. And in that conviction of truth, you know, those things that need to be laid aside in individuals' lives will be laid aside because of that conviction of truth and, you know, the wooing and the drawing of God's love will compel people to have that conviction of truth to do what is necessary to see the will of God come to pass. So I just want to encourage you. I love you. You're my brother in Christ, and we'll talk soon. We'll just have to one day, soon I'll have to have you on the program whenever it's, we're able to, and just let me share your heart in the Lord.
Well, thank you so much for praying today. We love you, the Lord. Be blessed today, everybody.
Thank you. Thank you
bye-bye.
So much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Praise God. God is good all the time. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, I had no idea who that was going to be, but, of course, I knew who it was. He's called in on the program before, and I actually did a program with someone else who he and I were the guests on the program and flowed in the prophetic. But I want to just stay plugged right in here and just to encourage you in what I was sharing and what the Lord is, you know, and what the Lord is doing. And it's such a blessing to be a part of what the Lord is doing in the earth. But we really have to come to that place to where we realize, as I had said a little bit earlier, that we cannot survive in a relationship where there's no life support. And, you know, there has to be that continual flow of life support in order for us to be edified as a people. It's, you know, we had a really intimate time last night in our corporate prayer setting. And, of course, the corporate prayer, we prayed and as the Holy Spirit led. And then at the end of prayer, we began to talk. And, of course, last night it was just women that were there last night. And one woman had come in pretty much at the end of. We were actually finished with corporate prayer, and I had just started sharing a few things with the women that were there. But as we continued on, it's we are in a critical time right now. And, you know, that war, there is a raging war that's going on, not just within us as individuals between our soul and our spirit, but in this world. And God has given us the authority. He said, if you will speak to the mountain, to that mountain in your life, if you will speak without doubt, and he said, it will be removed, but he is the one that removes it. Just like Prophet Kurt, just like what he shared, you know, God will do it when we come into that place of agreement in prayer. And we're praying God's will. We come into agreement. We speak, we declare it, we prophesy it. And then God, he's the one that will do it. It's not by might, it's not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. And so as the sharing began to continue last night, and it was a beautiful thing that happened. It was beautiful what the Lord did, but it seems as though in this season right now, because of the fire of the Holy Spirit, because of that conviction of truth, that we are all being positioned in this place of really having to choose, because we're seeing there's no other alternative. There's nothing else. Once you've tasted and you've seen the goodness of the Lord, once you've tasted and seen that love, and I love that song, there's nothing worth more than that love. Nothing can compare to the love of God, to living for the Lord. And you know, you find that place in Him where there is no shame, where there is no guilt, where there is no fear, you know. And we all know that fear is false evidence appearing real. And so when we live and when we step into that place, there is a unity of us and God that provokes a atmosphere around us of the unity that we have in Christ. And that is because our life support is coming from God and from Him alone. We're not putting our trust in man. We're not putting our trust in, you know, in anything else but God. And our happiness and our joy is truly coming from Him and Him alone. And so it was a precious time. It was really a precious time in the Lord, and just realizing that we as individuals are responsible totally for our relationship with the Lord. And you know, and as I was sharing earlier, it's like, well, what is my best friend? You know, I'm just always giving, and nothing's coming back, you know, to me. Well, is that really a God-ordained relationship? And then some of you may say, as I said a little bit earlier, well, you know, my spouse is, you know, I'm not really receiving that life support that I should be receiving. But when you come to a marriage, you have to understand that God has a plan, and everything is not always what it seems to be and what it appears to be. After you get married, what, you know, those things that were there before that you saw. But what you have to know and understand is that if God ordained that marriage, and sooner or later, He's going to begin to, you know, well, you'll see things. You'll begin to see things and like, okay, well, why didn't I see that before? And because the longer you're with a person, the more things are unveiled and revealed to you. And, oh, my, it just dawned on me. Today is my 37-year anniversary with my husband. Praise the Lord. God is so funny. He just simply has a way of doing things. And I just give Him all the glory and honor and praise for it. But what you have to purpose and know in your heart is that God is going to help you, and He is going to bring you through to that place to where you are able to live. When God has joined two people together, you know, this is what is so precious. He will work out everything. But a lot of times for women, because we are sensitive and we're more easily to talk about things than what men are. And this is not a negative. It's just simply the makeup and chemistry of a man and a woman. And so men have different ways that they release things in their life and the things that they're going through. And women, we're just wired different. You know, with us and our brain, everything connects together. It's just they all intertwine. They're all intertwined with each other. And I love this because it's like men have you know, in their brains, they have these boxes. This is the TV box, the food box, the love box, the church box, and then they have the nothing box. And, you know, because you can ask them, well, what are you thinking about? Nothing. And it's like, okay, for women, that's hard for us to understand, because it's like you have to be thinking about something, because I'm thinking, you know, I'm constantly thinking about things. And so, you know, there is a difference in that. And what we have to understand also as women is that most men did not grow up playing dolls. And most men did not grow up and, you know, they were the father and you were the mother and they were playing. And so they don't know a lot of those things simply on how to treat a woman and how to treat a wife and how to open up and to talk and to share things and to express things, because they were out playing cowboys and Indians and building sandhills and doing, you know, wheelies on their bikes and stuff like that. And so, you know, the Lord said to Adam, you know, I'm gonna give you a helpmeet. This is your helpmeet. And what women have to understand is that when you help make your husband a king, because he is the king of your home, then when you help him to be who God has called him to be, that king, then he will start treating you like a queen. And so that's, you know, I could just really go in there, because there are a lot of hurting women, and God wants to heal families. It's when families are restored, when marriages are restored, and families are restored, and this nation is godly, wow, it's just going to turn everything in this nation. And so we individually, we have to see that we have a part in seeing to it that God's will, that it does come to pass, but it begins with us individually and with our lives and the intimacy that we share and that we have with the Lord. And so we have to know that in a marriage relationship that that God, he is your life support. And as you pursue to do what is right according to the Word of God, as you pursue that, then you know what? God is, he is going to bless that marriage. He is going to bless that relationship. But that is true in any other relationship. And so you come to that place to where you have to realize and you have to discern, is this a godly ordained relationship? Because once again, if you are the person that is always giving in a relationship and you're releasing that life support and none is coming back to you, you're eventually going to burn out and you're going to be, you know, you just start to fizzle out. You start to get, you could become angry, you could become depressed, you know, and frustrated, and then stressed out. And so it's very important to know that as you focus on the Lord, as you keep your eyes upon the Lord, and when you focus, you know, that's a pretty strong word. When you focus on something, it's literally, that is what you are doing. You're focusing on it. And we hear all the time, you know, don't look at your problems. Don't look at your circumstances, at your adversities, but focus on that which is right. Focus on that which is true. And so that focus actually becomes a central point. It becomes the focal point of a lens. It's like you can either look at the things in the natural or you can look at the things in the spirit. And they're both realities. You know, they're realities. As I've shared this before, and I believe just here recently, you know, you can be struggling with sickness in your body. And one reality is that you're hurting and you're in pain and you don't feel good. But the other reality, which is the truth is that you are healed. So you have both realities. But the one that you focus on the most is what's going to feed you life. It's that's where your life is going to, you know, how you're going to be fed. And so the focus has to be where your attention is. We have to learn to allow the Word of God to become an attraction to us. And so when you focus on something, it becomes an attraction to you. And so from that attraction is, like I said, you're going to receive either life or you're going to receive death in your relationship. And so this is really important, the healing of our nation. Once again, I'm going to say that the healing of our nation is going to come through the healing of marriages and the healing of our families. And so God will give you and He will equip you, and He has equipped you for whatever would come up ever in your marriage, in your circumstances, in your daily life, with your children. And it's up to us to maintain, and it's up to us to draw out of ourselves. You know, sometimes you just have to draw out of that well of life that is on the inside of you until the fountain of life starts overflowing within you. And then next thing you know, out of your belly is flowing rivers of living waters. And so when we've been born again of the Spirit, there is a never-ending well on the inside of each and every one of us spiritually. And so we can begin to draw off of that well. Well, how do we pump that well? How do we draw off of that? Well, one way is to acknowledge who our Father God is. He is Jehovah Tsidkenu, our righteousness. He is Jehovah Makedesh, our sanctifier, the one who has set us apart, who has separated us from the world. He is Jehovah Nisi, our banner of love. He is Jehovah Shabbat. He is the light that we see in the midst of our darkness. He is Jehovah Rapha, our healer. I could just go, you know, down the list. We need to know who He is and find out what are His names, what do those names mean, and so that we can draw on the life of who He is, you know, to us and in us. So we're not trying to live our life according to our relationships with people. And when we start living our life according to, and we start drawing on that life support from God and from who He is, then watch this. Then we begin to, that's who we begin to imitate. That's what we begin to show, if you will, or to, you know, to release in our life. That's what we begin to manifest to others. So pretty soon in our relationship with each other, we're not, you know, the Bible says to know no man after the Spirit, but only after, to know no man after the flesh, but only after the Spirit. And so how are we going to know each other after the Spirit if we're not drawing off of the life and getting our life support from the one and only true God, and that is Jehovah God, our Father? If we're not drawing on that life support that He gives us because we don't know who He is, then we're not going to know each other after the Spirit. You know, and so I want to encourage you because this is a year of breakthrough. I'm telling you, this is a year of things really turning around for us. And I know we're in October, but you know what? It is never ever too late. And so I want to encourage you today to help yourself to know He is Elohim. He is the all-powerful one. He created the heavens and the earth. Who is Adonai? He is our Lord. He is our Lord. How excellent is His name, the name of our Lord in all of the earth. Who is Jehovah Rohi? He is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. That's who He is. And it's like the more you know who He is, it's, you know, Jehovah Shalom. He is my peace. He defeats our enemies to bring us that peace. And Jesus is our Prince of Peace. And God brings inner peace and harmony in us when we draw off of the life support of who He is. He is the very oxygen that we breathe in. It's Him. It is Him because we live. And, you know, right now, this happens every single time that in my personal time when I just begin to acknowledge who He is, He just reveals Himself to me. So I'm a little bit overtaken by His presence right now. And I pray that you are getting that overflow wherever you are and whatever you're doing, and that you know that He is there for you all the time. You know, he's always there. He's Jehovah Sikhanu, my righteousness. I mean, you know, if He imparts that righteousness to you and to me, hallelujah. And so it's, you know, we have a part in this journey that we just can't expect everything to just, you know, to fall into our laps. It's like you have to discipline yourself. Disciples are disciplined. You know, he is El Shaddai. He is the God of the mountains, you know. And when Abraham, when El Shaddai, he confirmed his covenant with Abraham. And he sent the ram, you know, in the thickets, in the bush, and he made the way. But, you know, Abraham had to trust Him. You and I have to trust Him. He is Emmanuel. He is Emmanuel. He is the Jesus. He radiates the glory of God. And but He is also God. And so, you know, there's, I mean, God has names, the names of who He is, and the scripture, it's just in there. So we can learn who He is, and Jesus, He is Almighty. You know, He is the Almighty. He is the all-powerful. He is mighty God. He's mighty in battle. And then Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. Jesus is our start and finish. And then He is the beloved. He is the branch of Jesse. He is the bride of life. He is our bridegroom. He is the door. He is the gateway. He's our opening to God. You know, he's the Holy One. He's our hope. He's the ruler. He's the judge. He's our shepherd. As I said, He's our redeemer. He is the prophet. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And so how can we know one another after the Spirit and supply that support that is needed to each other if we don't know who He is? And it's just like our armor. God has given us in Ephesians, He has given us our armor to put on, and that armor, you know, spiritually, is to help us. You know, He's given us the helmet of salvation. He said, "I have a sound mind," so I don't receive anything other than that. And if my mind is not sound, then guess what I do? I go to the Word of God, and I get his word so that my mind becomes sound. I focus. I allow his word to be the attraction in our life. You know, it's like the one of the main attractions at the State Fair of Texas is no longer. Everything, which is, I'm sure most of you who live in this area know that that is Big Tex. I mean, he burned and all the way up and down. And he was, you know, very tall. I don't know how tall he was, but he burned all the way down. And they said that as he was burning, you know, he was still trying to talk. And it's like there's coming an hour and a moment right now that you know what, we are, everything that is not of God is going to be burned up. All of the wood and the hay and the stubble in our lives are going to be burned up, and it's going to be destroyed, that which is not of God. And so we can make that choice today that I'm going to learn about my God. I'm going to learn who Father God is. I'm going to learn who Jesus is. I'm going to develop a relationship with Holy Spirit. It's, you know, my question is, are you doing everything you know to do? Are you kind of sitting back a little bit? It's so easy to not fight the good fight of faith because it takes us laying down the things that are so easily thought of on a daily basis, and that is everything that we're going through. And what we have to realize is that no matter how bad it gets, like what Prophet Kurt was saying whenever he had called in, you know, he just felt the intensity of you know, that we just need to pray. Just, you know, just right now, you know, we need to pray. And because we're living in a very strategic time. For me, it's, you know, every day is strategic because the world is being covered with gross darkness. And just like Isaiah said, there's gross darkness covering the earth, even the peoples of the earth. So much more is accepted into the church today that wasn't accepted, you know, many years ago. And so we have to purpose in our heart that, you know what, my life can make a difference. And I just want to tell you today, and I'm saying for you that that's how you know, the position that you need to take on. But I want to tell you today that your life is important. You are valued in this, in the kingdom. You are very valuable, and I can feel some of your hearts right now. You are valuable. You do have purpose, and you do have meaning in this life. God chose you, my dear friends, to be here in the earth at this amazing time in the history of the church that we are in. And he's given us so much. He's equipped you. He has sanctified you. He has set you apart as his. And he's given you the promises of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the same promises that we read about that they had. And I'm telling you, right when you get to your lowest point and you think that you cannot go on anymore and you think this is just the end, can you imagine how Abraham felt having to sacrifice Isaac, having to sacrifice his son? I mean, can you imagine what Isaac felt? But can you imagine what Abraham felt as his father? And giving up, you know, his one and only, well, he had Ishmael, but, you know, Isaac was the promise. And just having to, but he loved Father God so much that he knew he had heard from God, and he was willing, and right at the last second, I call it at the last second, he provided the offering. He provided the sacrifice, the ram in the bush. I mean, that is just probably one of the most amazing covenant stories in the Bible, to me personally. And in a way, that is how we have to, in our relationships with our spouses and with our children and with others that God has put in our lives, that is how we must, the kind of heart that we must have and the place where we must come to, that we are willing to lay them on the altar and to give them totally to God and to the Lord. And God will always make a way. He will always make a way. And he will send his word. And that word is life to us. His words. He said, my words are life and spirit to you. And so that is why his word must become one of the main attractions in our life. The word has to become our focus, because it's his word that will stand in the day of adversity. In your day of adversity and trial, it is his word that will stand. It is his word that renews your mind. It's his word that gives you hope. But remember, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So when we start obeying the word, because the word is what purifies our soul. Remember, Paul encouraged us. He said, purify your souls. He told us to do. He admonished and encouraged us as the people of God to purify our souls by obeying the truth. Well, who is the truth? Jesus. What is the truth? His word, God's word. Jesus was the living word in the earth. That's what we're supposed to be, living epistles that people are reading. They're reading our lives, and they're seeing the purpose and the plan and the will of God manifested. And so when we meditate, why did he tell us in Joshua to meditate upon the word and then observe it? But then he said, do it. He said, meditate on it and observe it to do it. And then he comes into James and he tells us, in James, in the first chapter, he tells us, he says, don't just be a hearer of the word, be a doer. Because if you only hear, then you get into spiritual deception. And he says you have to become a hearer. I mean, you have to become a doer of my word. So now watch this again. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I'm going to believe the word of God. I'm going to walk in the word of God. I'm going to obey it. So pretty soon, the substance of the glory of God, the substance of Jesus Christ, is growing on the inside of me. Hallelujah. There's finally their substance, because the old stuff has been rooted up, it's been pulled up, it's been dug out. The anger, the bitterness, the lying spirit, the gossip, the unbelief, the doubt, whatever it is in your life, as you pull it up, as you get it out of your heart, because it's like a weed that's going and it's taking life from you. That's why when I love to garden, and I get so many messages from gardening, from having flowers, and I love to watch flowers as they bloom and grow. But when a flower has died, a lot of times people just leave that on there. They leave, you know, and eventually it's going to, all the petals are going to fall off, and but you still have the, you know, the nucleus of whatever you want to call it, the part of that flower is still there, you know, which the petals came off of and out of. But what is happening is that dead flower, that dead bloom on that plant is actually, there's the life support. It's taking life from the ones that are alive. And it's trying to, you know, that sap is coming up, but it stops at a certain point because it can't get through to that part that is dead. And so that is why if you want that flower, if you want that plant to keep blooming, then you have to cut it off. You have to get your cutting shears and you have to cut it off or pinch it off or snip it off or whatever you want to do. And then pretty soon there will start to be more blooms on that plant. Well, that's the same thing that happens in our life spiritually. And so those things that are not of God, they have to go because they're taking life from you. And so you have to choose to meditate upon the Word of God and observe it. And when you do it, then you position yourself for fruit to manifest. You position yourself for life to manifest. And so what happens is that sap, it begins to flow. When you get those dead places out, the sap that's in the vine, I mean, he is the vine, and we are the branches. And so that sap begins to flow. Well, substance begins to grow. That could be the title of the message. Life begins to flow, and you begin to grow. Because the, you know, the life is going in, and so now there's substance. And so then pretty soon, that substance is a spirit of faith in you. And then pretty soon, the evidence, come on now, this is good, the evidence of God's word is manifested. And guess what? It sets you free. Hallelujah. Yes, it sets you free. And that's why John said you have to continue in the word. He says, continue in the word, and the truth that you know, it shall set you free. Why? Because it's the life of Christ in you. Hallelujah. It's just his life that's in you. So, remember, you cannot survive in a relationship where there's no life support. And so you have to end up choosing the word of God. And that's so important. And so the word of God, excuse me, the word of God says, again, that his life, I mean, his word, it is life and spirit. So if we start speaking forth that, which is life all the time, then guess what? Whatever you say, your words have molecules. And those molecules go out into the atmosphere. And pretty soon, what you have spoken, it does come back to you, just like a train that leaves a destination. It takes off, but it'll eventually come back to where it started off from. And so we want to be sure that we are releasing faith into our sphere. We're speaking faith, we're releasing faith. And so faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And hope deferred makes the heart sick. So when we start getting sick and that hope has been deferred, probably going to be because we're not releasing faith in our world. We're not releasing faith in our atmosphere, in our homes, in our workplaces, or wherever we are. That is the ground that God has given to us. And he said, wherever the soles of your feet tread upon, he said, that is the ground that I have given you. He says, that's part of your inheritance. And so when we learn to acknowledge who he is, and we receive that life support from him, okay, and then we're choosing faith, we're choosing to walk in the word of God, listen, wherever we go, whether it is our home, that is part of the earth that God has given you dominion over. And listen to this, he's given you control. Now, remember what I said earlier? And as I shared, if you were listening to the program or able to hear what I was sharing with Prophet Kurt, and because I was taught the same thing, God is in control of everything. Well, no, he's not. That is just simply not true. He can't be in control of what we don't give him control of. And so how do we take control of what is ours? Well, first we have to know what the Word of God says to know the control that God has given to us. It's just like in Matthew chapter 6. You can't serve God and mammon. So we have to learn how to control money to where money doesn't control us, because money will bring heartache in your life if you allow it to control you. So we have to take control over that money, and we have to instruct. It's almost in a place of where we have to give instructions, and money has to work for us. We're not working for money. Money is supposed to work for us. We are to take control. But that's just another part of where that control that God has given to us. But I'm not going to flow in that direction right now. But it is truly God that gives us the power to get wealth, whether it is with money or it's wisdom or whatever, you know, area it is in our life. And so we have to understand that God has an inheritance. He has given you and I an inheritance. And our inheritance is in and of the kingdom. And he keeps covenant with us so that we can maintain, so that we can acquire the inheritance through the covenant that he has made with us. And, you know, it's so amazing. On Monday, I was going through a few things and just dealing with some things. And then, lo and behold, all of a sudden, there is just like the most beautiful, amazing rainbow that manifests itself. And it was so clear. I mean, a lot of times the rainbows that I've seen, they're kind of fuzzy looking. But this one was just so clear. It was just like when my husband was tuning my new little TV last night, just a little small one. And I told him, I said, well, you know, I don't like the color on this TV. I thought it was going to be much clearer than this. And because it just wasn't, they weren't real vivid colors. So he went back and he said, well, okay, we have to go into the menu. And then we go into the picture, and then it pulled up the little deal that has the contrast, the brightness, the darkness, the light. And then it had, like, you can do regular TV or movie, or there were choices even on that. And so then he hit the choice, and then it pulled up the picture, and it was so clear, and it was so vivid. And that's how the Lord wants us to live, in this vivid place of the reality of the kingdom. And sometimes it's very fuzzy to us. It's like we are walking in this earth. We live in this earth, but we're not of this world. We are of the kingdom of God. But yet the things in the kingdom of God is kind of fuzzy to us. It's like we see a little bit of color in our life. We see a little bit, we have a little bit of hope. But he wants us to have a vivid picture. He wants us to, you know, what you see is what becomes reality in your life. And so if you have a fuzzy perception and if you don't have a clarity of what God has promised you as the inheritance, then it's, you know, life isn't as enjoyable as it can be. And so that's why we have to study to show ourselves approved. That's why we have to get into the Word of God. And as we begin to walk in that faith, our faith is in God. Faith is the Spirit. And faith is God. He is faithful. He is faithful. That's who he is. He's faithful. And so when we have faith in God, then we are going to be willing to allow the word to be engrafted. You know, when something becomes engrafted in your heart, it's, you know, it takes time. It's like a lot of times we don't want to wait on the Lord. We don't want to wait for faith to be manifested, for substance to grow in us. We want to see the evidence of God's word right away. Well, I guarantee you that journey that Abraham had up the mountain with Isaac, I guarantee you that was probably the longest hike of a mountain. And all of that was, wow, it was probably just so difficult. And, you know, Abraham's like, wow, you know, God, why couldn't you have had that ram there before, so I wouldn't have had to taking Isaac up there, and we wouldn't have had to go through all of this. And, you know, and so that's how we are with some things, you know, and especially those times of the storms that we face in our life. The storms that we face in our life, the outcome of it with God is always going to be good, right? It's going to be good. We're going to be strong. We're going to become stronger. But so often in the beginning of the storm and in the midst of the storm, we're weak. And he said, in your weakness, my strength is made perfect. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so, because in that storm, when we put our trust in God, when we have faith in God, when we act on the word, which is faith, and it is life, and it is spirit, then what happens? Again, substance, the substance of Christ, the substance of glory, his glory is manifested on the inside of us. And then pretty soon, the evidence of the word in all of us. I know you want this as much as I do, or you wouldn't be listening to the program today, but I know you want to see the evidence of God's word in your life. I do too. But we have a responsibility, and sometimes it is so hard. It, you know, life can throw some pretty nasty curveballs at us. I mean, life sometimes is just, it's difficult. But nevertheless, God sent the way maker, and Jesus made the way for you and I to have a great life, to enjoy life. When I look back over the last 37 years of my life being married to my husband, I can tell you there have been some difficult times. some storms, some difficult moments, a time when I didn't even want to be married to my husband. And, you know, where it was just so difficult. I mean, I didn't even want to be in the same room as him. And if everybody will just be honest, has been married, you have had moments like that. But you know what? As I applied the Word of God, as I allowed the Word of God to become engrafted in me, and substance began to grow, and then faith, then pretty soon I was walking in faith. See, when you're not walking in faith, you're not pleasing Father God. Without faith, it is impossible. It's impossible to please God when you're not walking in faith. Because anything, the Bible says, anything that is not of faith is sin. God gave his word that is life and spirit to us. He gave us every answer, every tool that we need, every weapon that we need to fight the good fight of faith. See, fighting the good fight of faith is not fighting flesh and blood. Fighting the good fight of faith is learning how to stand for the truth that you have in you that is manifesting who Christ is in you. That's your faith. Remember earlier when I was talking about the different names and who God is and Jesus is, and we need to learn, we need to draw our life support off of who the Father is and who Jesus Christ is. Well, you know, Jesus, he is the author and finisher of our faith. It is, and so we have to learn to stand and to operate in truth that we know, whether we're in the midst of family or friends that know. Sometimes it's just like, why should I do this? Because he's not. Well, she's not. Well, they're not. Well, you know what? It's about God, and it's about you walking in what has been made available and what you have access to. Praise God that through the blood of Jesus Christ that we are privileged to enter boldly into his throne room, not all timid and shy and with our head hanging down and, God, well, won't you help me, God? We can enter boldly into his throne room. Father God, thank you that I have the right to be here in your presence to ask for help in my time of need, in my time of adversity right now, in this time where life doesn't make any sense and I can't figure anything out and I just feel like I'm in the dark. And God, you know, I know you're there, but I want to be aware of you being there. I know you haven't left me, and I know you haven't forsaken me, but God, I just need to know. I need to feel your presence. I need to know that you are with me. I need a manifestation of who you are in my life, but he could manifest himself to you just like the man who was in the garden. Remember? And he didn't even know that he was right there with Jesus. He didn't know that Jesus, that was Jesus in the garden. We need to know. And the only way we're going to know is because of learning to know him, learning about him and who he is. And when you start developing that intimacy and that relationship with God, then you're able to stand in that place of adversity and say, greater is he that is in me. It was Christ, the anointed one, whose anointing destroys every yoke of bondage, than he who is in this world. I know whose I am. That's more important for you to know whose you are and that you are his than to know even why because God always causes things to turn around for the good of those who love him and who are called according to his purpose. How do you know? I mean, he said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. God is not trying to hurt anybody. He's trying to help everybody. Someone said, well, why does God, you know, why did he allow this to happen? Well, he permits things to happen because we step out of place. Remember, Satan goes to Jesus and he wants to sift you. He wants to sift me. He wants to sift us so that our faith will fail, because he knows that without faith it's impossible to please God. And so Satan wants to weaken your faith. That's why sometimes he'll send his little mocking demons to come, little cohorts and imps, those little mocking spirits to come, because they weaken your faith. Well, where's your God? Well, you know what? If the devil does that, well, where's your God now? Look at this mess that you're in. Look at what you're going through. Look at how he talked to you. Look at how she treated you. Look at how, I mean, he's such a liar. And you know what? Your response is, and you stand strong, and you say, he is right here with me. And because I am making it through this, and I am going through, and I am going to come out on the other side of this, that proves that he is with me. You fight the good fight of faith for you so that you don't lose the faith that you have, because you can lay it down. You can lose sight of that faith that you have. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And so you have to stand in that place and say, he is here. So what? Okay, so there is a mess going on. I'm going to have a testimony. This appears to be a test right now, but I'm going to have a testimony because God's going to take this mess and he's going to give me a message of hope, a message of reconciliation, a message of strength, a message of victory. There's something good in this for me, because he's going to turn it around because I love him and because I'm called by him. And so it's the word. It's the word. It is the word. The word is life and spirit. His word will never, ever fail you. You have to keep pressing in and keep fighting the good fight of faith. You know, I'm not going to let the enemy take my faith. Faith is easy to lay down sometimes when we don't see what we believe that we are supposed to see when we want to see it. But if you keep doing the right thing, if you keep getting the word in you, and you know that, I mean, it's just the substance of who Christ is. It just grows in you. His life, it becomes your life. You take on his ways and his thoughts. So then you're no longer thinking or acting according to the carnal man, according to your soul. But you take on the life of Christ. And then that's where the evidence begins to be seen. The evidence is manifested. And then you know that you know that it is Christ in you. And it's not in your own strength. It is for God, who he is effectually at work in you. And he's energizing and creating in you the power and desire. And that's what his word says, both to will and to do, to will and to work for his good pleasure, and for you to have satisfaction in your life and for you to have a delight in your life. And so then that's what draws, that's what draws people when they see there's sometimes you go through like these real strong places of growth, and then you walk in it, you walk it out, but then life happens and circumstances begin to manifest, and sometimes they're a little bit more extreme, a little bit more difficult, a little bit more harder, and then you start going through this press again, but you keep, as you come out of it, if you choose to fight the good fight of faith, and to stay in faith and to stay in the Word of God, and then you see that victory, it'll manifest again, and you've gone to another place of glory. We all want to step to another place of glory and another place of faith. But from glory to glory, if I go from Rockwall to Dallas, there's some space and there's some miles between Rockwall and Dallas. And so in our journey, in us walking through, going from glory to glory and faith to faith, there is some space between this place of glory and faith I'm walking in right now. There's going to be some space, some violence that I'm going to have to walk, some things that I'm going to have to pass by to go through. I may go through from Rockwall to Dallas. I may drive down 276 and there's rain, and then I get on 30 and there is no rain. The sun's out. There's, you never know what kind of opposition you're going to face. And going from one realm of faith to another realm of faith, and from one realm of glory to another realm of glory. But the thing is that there is some space. Just like there is space between your mind and your heart. And remember, the Word of God says it's not what goes in, it's what comes out of your mouth. It's what you think is what you become. And so, there's space between those places. And so, therefore, we're going to walk through some things. We're going to walk through some situations. We're going to walk through some adversities. We're going to walk through some victories. So, we're going to see this deliverance that we've gotten, this deliverance that has come to us, but we're going to maintain it. But there's going to be a space of time and period in which our faith is going to be tested. And you can never, ever let go of the fundamental, basic, elementary teachings of the principle of God's Word, because it will always apply in every place in your life. Love your enemies. Bless the Lord at all times. Bless Him with all that is within you. Love the Lord your God with all of your might, with all of your soul, with all of your strength. You have to keep choosing those things that are elementary. Someone's thinking, well, what are the principal elementary teachings in my life? Well, what are the things that you first learned? Is to be ye kind one to another. Do unto others as you would have them to do unto you. And what I just quoted, love the Lord your God with all of your strength. Well, those are elementary teachings. They're part of the foundation of God in your life. They're part of that foundation on which God is building upon in your life. They're as you walk in the revelation that those things become revealed in your heart. As you walk in what has been revealed, then you are manifesting the Word of God. You're manifesting the evidence of Christ Jesus that is in you. And then people are being drawn. People are drawn to people who are manifesting Christ, who are manifesting the Anointed One. You can feel the love of God. You can sense the love of God in a person who is following truly after Christ, who is disciplining their life, and who is fighting the good fight of faith, those who are walking in faith, they're just compelled. It's just like a warm fire when it's cold, is you're drawn to get closer to that fire. Did you ever, like women and men too, if when you're cooking something and it's like really cold and you have something in the oven, have you ever just like opened the oven up just a little bit, you know, to where it's cracked and you're letting the warmth coming out of that oven and it feels so good to you, and you're like rubbing your hands and you're just, oh, it just feels so good. Well, the Lord in you is, he is an all-consuming fire. And people are drawn to that fire. They're drawn to that passion that they see in you. It's compelling to them. And so the Bible says in the last days that we're going to see the waxing. There's going to be the waxing of many that are going to wax worse. They're going to wax and become colder. And so we want to keep this relationship that we have with the Lord. We want to keep it growing, continually growing. We want to be a person that's on fire, because fire attracts. And so in and through that word, remember like what I shared earlier, everything of wood, hay, and stubble, it's burned up. It's going to be burned up by the fire. But when we surrender to him our whole lives, when we give him everything, when we acknowledge that he is a covenant God, he's not going to leave us, he's not going to forsake us. When you acknowledge, he said that he will energize you. When you let him work in you, when that word is being engrafted, you are energized, and his power is being created in you, and the delight of who he is. Praise God. Well, we only have a few minutes left, and I have a caller that I'm fixing to take, and I just pray that this word today, that it has been life and spirit to you, that you have been touched by it, that you have been changed by it, and that you will apply it, that you'll go back and listen to the program again and get this word in you and begin to enjoy the covenant life that you have with God. And I just love you dearly. I look forward to being with you again next week on October the 31st. And thank you for those who on Facebook, you've written me happy anniversary, and thank you so much for being so kind and just being personal like that. And I just praise God for what he's done today. And I'm going to go to a caller right now. And you are on the air, area code 908.
Oh, hi.
Are you there?
Yes, hi. Do you hear me?
Yes, I can. And who am I speaking with?
Elaine, I've spoken with you before regarding my health, and I was calling today about, I loved your message today about faith. I've been staying in faith on finances. I was wondering prayers to see what the Lord has to say about.
Okay, and can I just, the phone was, they came on with the message, show how long I have left. Can you tell me again, sweetheart, your name? Just your first name?
Elaine.
Elaine, okay, and where are you calling from?
New Jersey.
New Jersey, praise God. Okay, and you were, the phone was cutting out a lot, but you were saying you would like prayer about your finances?
Yes.
Okay, Elaine. Well, Father God, we just thank you today for Elaine and for her life, and Father God, just thank you for the miracles that you have manifested in her life, and even concerning her health and just other issues in her life. And Father God, I just lift Elaine up to you right now. And Lord God, I just ask you to just open up that place, open up that door for the financial miracle, Father God, that she needs and that she desires in her life. And Father God, I thank you that you do give Elaine the power to get wealth. And Father God, I just thank you for wisdom, Father God, for clarity. Father God, just give your daughter the wisdom that she has need of at this very moment. And Lord God, I thank you that you lead and you guide and you direct line upon line, step upon step, precept upon precept. And Father God, I just thank you right now. Yes, Lord God, I just take authority right now over every hindrance, over every obstacle. Yes, Father God, every obstacle that has stood in the way. Yes, Father, thank you that this is such a precious time in which you are manifesting yourself to Elaine, to your daughter. And Father God, I thank you that you are Jehovah Jireh. And I'm just hearing the Spirit of the Lord saying, daughter, you have seen me many times bring you through impossible places, impossible situations, and even in the area of your finances. And daughter, as you stay close to me and as you trust in me and depend upon me and acknowledge me and you keep seeking me, daughter, you will see that the way has been made, and I will reveal it to you, and I will open up this place to you, that miracle that you have need of, it shall be manifested to you. And just as my servant has spoken, for I do everything in order, line upon line, step by step, and precept upon precept. And daughter, I have set things up, and I have put them, and I have aligned them so that you are in the right place, so that it is the right time, and you will see my hand move. Fear not, daughter, and be not dismayed, and don't be discouraged, for I say to you again that I have made the way. The way has already been made, and so shall you see the provision not many days from now. So keep trusting in me and know that I will always be Jehovah Jireh, the one who provides for every need that you have. For no matter what it pertains to, I already have made the way, and you will see. Just keep trusting in me and know that the time has come and that the season has come in which you will reap a harvest, daughter, that you have not seen in the days past. For this is a time of harvest in which you will see an increase, not just in your finances, but even in the wisdom and in the knowledge and the revelation and in the things of God, you will see as well an increase. For daughter, you have been through the testing time, and your trust has been in me, and your trust has been upon me. And so because you have acknowledged me, daughter, you will see, and you will see very soon that I am who I say that I am, that I am Jehovah Jireh, your provider. And so, daughter, get your barrels out. Get your baskets out. Get your buckets out and know that the flow is going to begin. You will first see and encounter a trickle, but you will begin to see that there will be a constant flow. For you are stepping over the threshold into a new place in which you will see that financial provision. You will see a daily flow of that which I have prepared for you. For I am a covenant God, but I am your Father who cares for you and who loves you more than you could ever imagine and who will supply all of your needs according to my riches here in glory.
support.
I say to you, my daughter, that you are mine, and the provision is there, and you shall see it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Oh,
wow, Elaine. That's precious. That is just beautiful. I just said, I was saying, Lord, I just received that too.
Oh, God is good. It's staying in faith. Staying in faith. That's, your message was like it was geared to me. I was like, I've been staying in faith for so long, and I'm going to stay there.
Yes,
thank
that's the
God.
Safe place. That's the best place to be.
Yes. Oh, that was a beautiful. Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Oh, praise God. Well, I just love you and just love you with the love of the Lord, too. And thank God that He is, you know, that He is faithful. And, you know, and that's one thing is that, you know, it sometimes it seems like He doesn't come when we want Him to, but He is always on time. He just always, and I have had one circumstance after another to where it just seemed like, you know, that financial miracle that it wasn't going to manifest because it was getting down to the wire, as we call it, getting down to that last just that very last second, and it's just like, okay, you know, Lord, I've believed you. I've done what you've told me to do, and I've trusted in you all this time. And then, boom, He just like, He shows up. And, you know, and so I've learned throughout this journey, Elaine, to position myself and to stay ready, you know, for that promise to manifest. You know, to stay prepared, and I'll share one quick, this one thing. I know the Holy Spirit's bringing it to my remembrance because there's so many manifestations of His word and promises that I have, you know, received from Him throughout all these years. And it's just too many to, you know, remember all the time, but He'll bring those things to remembrance as here. And so I want to leave you with this and encourage you with this, and even those who are still listening to the program right now, this is the kind of God that we serve. But we were buying a vehicle for our son. Of course, this was many years ago, and he was in school, and it was getting down to the getting down to the wire where we had to go to the bank because we were fixing to sign everything, but we needed $3,000, and we just we didn't have that. But I stood and believed God, you know, because this was a desire of my heart. It was a desire of our son's heart, and I just refused to give up that, you know, God would, that He would make the way for us to have, you know, what we needed. And, I mean, it was a quarter till 3 o'clock, 15 minutes before 3, before we had to be at the bank. And it was just like, okay, I guess, are we going to have to go and say, you know, we can't do this? But I just could not believe that in my heart. Yeah. And so I had gotten ready and, you know, taken a shower, got my hair done and everything. And our doorbell rings, and God sent a man and a woman, sent a couple who came, and it was the husband who said, well, the Lord just moved on my heart and told me that I needed to bring this to y'all, and because you had need of it. And he said, and so I just wanted to be obedient, and it was a check for $3,000. And, you know, it's like, really? I mean, that's the kind of God that we serve, you know, just like I shared with about Abraham, you know, being covenant. Well, it was like if we didn't have that $3,000, we weren't going to be able to. And it wasn't just, you know, just a want or a desire, but it was a need. It was really a kind of a necessity, you know, because he needed to have a vehicle. And so it wasn't like a luxury kind of thing. But he also gives us, you know, the desire of our heart. I mean, when we delight in him, he takes delight in us. And so he doesn't just give us the needs and the wants, but the desires. But this was definitely a necessity and need. And I was shocked. It was like, I mean, I was shocked to see them and had no idea. I mean, it's like, number one, they were both off work, and what are they doing here at my home at 2:45 in the afternoon? And, you know, it's I thank God for covenant people who have that relationship with God, who do pray, who do listen to the Lord, and then do what the Lord says to do. Because, you know, they didn't know what we had need of. They didn't know, and I could keep us on the phone until probably the end of this year, as the Holy Spirit would bring the remembrance. But just time after time where God has brought that financial miracle, and when it just didn't seem like it was going to happen, but I refused to believe anything else but that he would supply. And so just be encouraged, and you have to call back and tell us the praise report.
I will. I certainly will. Thank you
okay.
so much.
Okay, Elaine. Well, I love you, and I'll talk to you real soon.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, sweetheart, bye-bye. Well, praise the Lord. I guess this does conclude. There's no more callers today. This does conclude our program today, and again, just be blessed. Just take the word of God and know that he loves you so dearly. He loves you so much, and he so desires that you have your inheritance, that you walk in your inheritance, but that you learn and know that he really is the covenant-keeping God. And so get to know who he is. Go to the Bible or to your maybe Mardell's or whatever you have, but your Christian bookstore, wherever you live, and learn who God is. Learn his name. And what does his name mean? Who is Jesus? What does Jesus' name mean? And then read the word of God, and then get that in you so you can start drawing your life support from him. So you can start really manifesting the Spirit of God in your life. And so I just speak blessings over you. And if you're in the Dallas-Fort Worth area anytime, soon come and visit us at Church of His Glory, where my husband and I co-pastor together. November the 2nd on Friday evening, we're having a Glory Girls movie night at our church, and women are invited. Go to the call 972-772-5544 and RSVP, and let me know that you're coming by next Wednesday, the 31st. And we're just going to watch a movie. We're just going to have a girl time and some ministry time where, you know, just love on each other. And just really, it's a time, you know, before the holidays, we're stepping into a really busy time of the year. And it's just a time to be rejuvenated, refreshed, and reviewed, and just to have that relaxed time, if you will, just with sisters in the Lord, and we would love for you to come if you're able to. And you can go on Facebook. I've got an event on there. I've got that as an event, so you can respond on that to say that you're coming. But just know how valuable you are and how loved you are, and God's plans for you are just good. They're just good to always give you hope and always give you a future. So join back again next week on October the 31st at 11 o'clock. We'll go forth and walk in his glory. Bye-bye.